All right, we're back. This is Frank Maloney with former UVA enforcer Terry Gates. You're listening to Who's Talking. We've got Jerry Radcliffe, the editor, the sports editor from the Daily Progress up in Charlottesville. He's on the line with us. And, Jerry, are you there?
I'm here, Frank. How are you tonight?
Jerry, thank you for holding so long. Sorry about that. We're glad to have you. Got a bunch of questions for you. You've covered UVA football since 1982, and this is only the second search that UVA has conducted for a head coach during that time. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, they fouled up the first time, that's for sure, because they didn't get the initial guy they were going for, and then I think they just kind of scrambled around until Al Groh popped up. They were looking at all sorts of people and who I didn't think were suitable candidates at the time. But, I think this is going to be an interesting search. I think they've actually been searching for back since September. I think they probably have a list whittled down to five or six candidates. They've been very good about keeping a lid on that, and I think there's been a little bit of smoke screen thrown out there to try to throw the scent off of who they're really going for. But I think there's only so many guys that are going to fit the description or fit the mold of what Oliver and Littlepage have been, their history in hiring coaches, that fit that mold.
Well, let me backtrack just 1 second. What do you think of the firing of all the assistant coaches other than Bob Price and Anthony Poindexter?
Well, you know, I was a little surprised. I thought that they might hold a couple of those guys, like Lindenberg or some of the others, a couple of the others possibly. Although it sounds like to me that they just wanted to make a clear separation from everything Al Groh. They even fired the graduate assistants who, I guess, were brought in under him, and a couple of them played for him. I was surprised. I thought they might give a couple of those guys a chance to hang on and see if the new coach might want to hire them, but obviously that wasn't the case.
Jerry, this is Terry Gates. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for putting up with us. Especially,
how you doing, Terry?
Doing well. Thanks for putting up with Frank here. But you mentioned they probably whittled this down to five or six coaches. Since they have this national search they talk about, is there an opportunity for someone to come out of the woodwork here that, you know, maybe is an offensive or defensive coordinator that would really wants the job, where maybe they don't know this person? I guess Tony Bennett kind of came out of the woodwork that same direction. Do you think they've nailed it down to five or six, or is it still kind of open there for someone to pick the phone up and express their interest in Charlottesville and in the ACC and in the university?
Yeah, Terry, I guess that could possibly happen. I would think that they probably have identified the people they want to go after and have had back-channel conversations with them or their agents by now. I guess at this point, you know, somebody could emerge, could come out of the woodwork, as you said. It's interesting. We don't know exactly how long they talked to Tony Bennett before they brought him in here. So, I guess it's possible that there could be somebody that, after their season was over, decided, hey, I want to take a shot at that job, and it might catch their eye. But I would think that most of the people they're after, there's been some discussion back and forth for quite some time now.
Okay.
You know, Jerry, I had heard from several sources that Virginia actually did start the search, if not in early September, maybe even late August. And one of the things that I find intriguing is it was about that time in late August that the university people in the football department and media relations started letting the word get out that Al Groh was not going to do interviews, both internally or externally. And I went through both channels and was very much surprised by that. But with everything that you've heard of late, who do you think is on the search committee? How long do you expect the search and the process to run?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Well, you know, from what I understand, they've hired Chuck Ninas, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, who a lot of colleges go to to help conduct searches of this kind. So I don't know that the search committee is any bigger than John Oliver, Craig Littlepage, John Castine, Leonard Sandridge, maybe a couple other people. But I really don't think this thing is going to last as long as some people portrayed that it would near the end of Al's tenure. I have a feeling that this thing could be wrapped up in a couple of weeks, if not before Christmas.
Well, wouldn't that be ideal in terms of, A, assembling a staff, and, B, getting on the recruiting trail quickly to reassure those, you know, the 11 or so athletes that have already made their verbal commitments to stick with the plan and come on board, and also to go get the other athletes out there that possibly still have some contact to Anthony Poindexter and Bob Price.
Yeah, and I think that's specifically why they kept those two guys, because Price has been involved in the recruiting since the George Welsh days, and Poindexter, of course, is so highly regarded by UVA people. I think they'll keep track of all that sort of stuff. Any of these guys that feel like, you know, I think any of these candidates who have talked to them either in person or through back channel agents, I have a feeling those guys have already, in the back of their minds, if not on paper, have already started putting out feelers for filling out their coaching staff. In fact, I've heard of a couple of potential candidates who already have coordinators lined up. So I think that's kind of interesting.
You know, it's interesting. I have heard the same thing in the phone calls that I've made in the last few days, and that leads me to this question. In your opinion, who are the top five candidates based on what you've heard to this point?
Well, I think Chris Peterson was a pipe dream. I think that John Oliver really liked him and probably put out some feelers to him early and realized at that point it wasn't going to happen. But I think they used that as a smokescreen to kind of throw the rest of us off. And my personal candidate, the guy who I would go up for, is Jim Grobe down at Wake Forest, who I think is one of the best coaches in the country. I don't think they're going to get him for a variety of reasons. At that point, I think you got to look back, like we said, at Oliver and Littlepage's history of getting up-and-comers, hot assistants, kind of under-the-radar sort of guys who are not going to break the bank. And so for that reason alone, I think Mike London is definitely the favorite, if not one of the favorites. I think Al Golden is certainly on that list. I think Troy Calhoun out at Air Force, who I think, had they fired Al last year, like I think was discussed, I think he was at the top of their list last year.
Right.
And another guy who I think has kind of emerged in the last few days is Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator down at Miami, who I think could be a really solid candidate.
Interesting. Is there a fifth name out there?
Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, who knows? There could be. I like the guy down at Auburn, the offensive coordinator, but I don't know if they'll go there or not.
Okay. All right, so for weeks we've been hearing nothing but Tommy Tuberville on all the blogs, this way and that. That's a pipe dream, right?
You know, I don't know. We heard his name surface early, way before Al was fired. I think, you know, back around mid-season.
Right.
We heard his name pop up, and I think he would be an excellent coach myself. Anybody that's beat Alabama 6 years in a row can definitely coach. But, he comes at a high price. I don't know that UVA is willing to throw another $2 million-plus salary out there at this juncture because of the financial situation over there. I mean, they cut nearly $2 million out of their athletic budget going into the year. So buying out Lato and Grow didn't come cheap. So I don't know if they're going to go after another $2 million-plus guy or not. I think he would be a good coach, and I think he's a really good guy, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
Go ahead, Terry.
Jerry, would he have to convince the search committee that he was the right person, someone that's going to command, you know, $2 million, that I'm the right person for your university, for your situation, or – is the search committee going to have to recruit someone like that? You know, is it who's recruiting who there?
Yeah, you know, I really do think that might be the case, Terry. I think with a guy like that, he would have to sell himself, convince them that he's the right guy, that he could do all the things that they want in a head coach, not only on the field but off the field, and that he would be worth the investment. And I think that's going to take a lot of convincing under the current financial climate.
Yeah. It's changed, has it not?
It really has.
I think I went to the VAF site last night, Frank, and I think they're down about $2.9 million off their – well, it's a 16 – don't get me wrong, it's a $16.8 million annual giving budget or
right.
goal, which is pretty amazing. It's just to say it's $16.8 million on an annual basis. But, you know, with the economic conditions and the what's happened in the basketball and the football team the last couple of years, you can see some people not upping, and could be just it's time for people to not buy tickets anymore, you know.
Well, certainly we're going through a tough spell. Jerry, I want to ask you one more question, then we're going to set you free. Earlier this week, you wrote a very interesting article entitled Air League, The Money Adds Up for Cavaliers and Peterson. And although you have since dispensed with that option, basically, you told me directly recently that it stirred up a storm up there in Charlottesville. Would you like to comment on that?
It did stir up a storm. Normally when we write a story like that, there's no reaction whatsoever. This time there was they went directly into spin mode the next day, which kind of surprised me, and said a few things that I'm not quite certain were upfront or truthful. And so, yeah, I was a little surprised. I think it did strike a nerve for whatever reason. I don't know. It made me very suspicious, but since then, I think I've been led to believe that the Chris Peterson thing was just a smokescreen.
Jerry, don't you think the quick reaction from both the administration and all other allies, don't you think that that could have been caused in part maybe, or that reaction was caused in part because maybe they've already got their man lined up and they're just waiting for them to complete postseason play?
I think that could very well be the case, Frank. You know, you listen to some people and they'll say it's a done deal with so and so or so and so, you know, there's some little things out there that make me believe that that might be the case, but you know, there's no evidence of it, no solid evidence, just a few little things, little hints that sort of make you leads you to believe that perhaps is the case, that it's all done. You're just waiting for the guy to get through.
Jerry, it's been great having you. I know I can speak for Terry here. We thoroughly enjoyed your visit. I know that you wrote a book last year about UVA football. Would you care to tell people about the book very quickly?
Sure, yeah. It's been selling well, and it'll be great for Christmas to all the Wahoos out there. It's called The University of Virginia Football Vault. A history of the Cavaliers, and it not only gives a history, it's sort of a memory book of UVA football going back to the 1890s. It's loaded not only with really good stories and history, but also a lot of memorabilia that I think Wahoo fans would really enjoy, and some very rare photos that I think most of us had never seen before.
Well, very good. I'm delighted that we've had you on tonight. And Terry, anything you'd like to kick?
No, in? Nice talking to you. And I guess there is a big game on Friday night in Charlottesville, right? It's not basketball or it's football, but it's soccer. So look
That's
forward
right.
to that.
And hopefully we'll be doing a book that includes Mr. Gates in it here sometime in the near future.
He called me an enforcer. It should be under the gentleman section, Frank.
He was all elbows, wasn't he, Jerry?
No.
Sharpest elbows in town.
No.
That's right. That's what Terry Holland told me. All right, well, we're going to head to break. Thank you, Jerry. And Wahoo fans, we're headed to break now. We're going to be back on the other side in just a few minutes to talk about the basketball team. So hang with us.